Big thanks to FreezePipe for sponsoring this episode of Pass Gas. American-owned and with over 100,000 happy customers, FreezePipe is your solution to smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom. Shop now at thefreezepipe.com and use code GAS for 10% off your entire order. That's thefreezepipe.com and code GAS for 10% off. Order today to get free shipping and say goodbye to harsh smoke forever. Big thanks to Indeed for sponsoring this episode of Pass Gas. We are driven by a search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. I've done hiring in the past for Donut, and it is a pain in the butt. If I had a tool like Indeed, it would have made things so much easier. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/passgas. Just go to Indeed.com/passgas right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/passgas. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
With hands blistered by a red-hot steering wheel and a head still reeling from a long night of sex and champagne, Hélène Nice won the first all-female Grand Prix at Montlhéry. By that race in 1929, the former French cabaret dancer had proven her worth as a race car driver. The next day, Bugatti invited her to their showroom to convince Nice to compete under their name. She signed a sponsorship deal with Lucky Strike Cigarettes.
Hell yeah.
And with her immaculate profile, Nice bought herself a yacht and a Hispano Suiza road car.
Wow.
Now a household name, Hélène Nice was invited to show her skills on the board tracks of the United States.
Back when they made racetracks out of wood.
Out of wood, yes. Baby.
Only splinters.
But in 1960, she was penniless, heartbroken, and haunted by painful memories of a life-threatening crash. To survive, she begged for charity and sipped milk from the saucers left out from local cats. God. She died alone at age 83 after complications during a leg surgery. Her estranged sister buried Nice in the family grave plot, but refused to inscribe her name on the tombstone. So, how did the poor daughter of a postmaster become one of France's most dazzling stars in the first place? Why did this cabaret dancer decide to become a racing driver? And how did one of Europe's most beloved and promising competitors fall so quickly out of favor? Today, we'll find out more about the woman known as the Bugatti Queen.
Podcast. It's about cars, it's not about
forts. This very Gadsby. Put your heads in that Gadsby mindset. Yeah. Let's think about Babylon.
The Gilded Age. Doing the Foxtrot.
Peaky Blinders. Boardwalk Empire. Wow! That's what like the wild. That's what like
that's how you know shit
was back then.
Down. Yeah.
Parents would listen to it and be like, "That's not music." And be like,
"Wow! Yeah. Wow! 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 Yeah, cool."
This is going to be a real white glove affair.
Oh, baby.
By the way, made me cringe when you said complications from a leg injury. I feel like of all the surgeries to die of complications from, leg is probably
maybe
rough.
They like nicked her femoral artery or something like that.
I mean, there's
that.
So many things
or
that
like
can
it
go
got
wrong.
Infected.
Yeah. I mean, people die in Brazil getting like plastic surgery.
Well, I just feel like the further away from your heart or brain something is, the worse they have to mess it up for you to die. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I mean, the worse the death.
Like we didn't have. We put a hand on your leg.
Yeah, we put a hand on your leg and it's going to strangle you.
Yeah.
Things just became sanitary like yesterday. The last 50 years.
Yeah. That's true. Welcome back to Past Gas, everybody. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm joined, as always, so excited for the story today after that intro. My co-host, James Pumphrey, how are you?
I'm good. Get off my plane, Chewy.
What's wrong?
Well, I was going to say get off my plane, Chewy. Yeah. Then I realized that was my friend Josh's joke.
Oh. I've been watching a lot of Tom Clancy, Harrison Ford movies lately.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Clear and Present Danger.
Yes.
Patriot Games.
Yeah.
Weren't those part of...
Yeah, so...
One was a sequel.
Hunt for Red October was the first one.
Yeah.
And that's Patriot Games. And then Clear and Present Danger. Then there's Some of All Fears.
Does he play the same character in those?
Well, Alec Baldwin played... Yeah, it's Jack Ryan.
Oh, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan is played by
those
Alec
Baldwin. Those are Baldwin's. Jack Ryan books? Yeah. I didn't know that.
And Jack Ryan is played by Jim from The Office?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Michael B. Jordan.
And wasn't Jack Ryan in...
And Chris Pine.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's like almost like a Bond
guy. He's like a
guy.
James Bond kind
of
character.
Yeah. Was he in Silence of the Lambs?
Jack Ryan?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
That would be crazy, though.
Yeah.
Crazy crossover.
And Joe Weber. What's up, dude?
What's up, Foxtrot Nation?
Foxtrot Nation.
Hey, you got the end of a plunger for me, pal?
And man, yeah, today, if that intro was any indication, this can be a wild one.
Yeah.
What's your name, wild. Though?
My name?
And sitting to my right.
Nolan Sykes. Go ahead and goose it.
Come on, say it with your chest.
Go ahead and goose it.
Yeah, okay, that's better.
Go ahead and goose it.
Go ahead and goose it. Oh, give me a goose on the cheek there.
Give me a goose on the cheek.
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, spruce goose. Go ahead and spruce goose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead and spruce goose it.
I feel like that was a few decades later, though.
That was maybe the early 50s, 60s.
Late 40s, maybe.
Speaking of Gatsby, to be able to play Gatsby and Howard Hughes, wow.
So, like, with any historical, like, biographical piece, it's always fun to cast everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that Helly should be played by, there's a new Ethan Coen movie, Runaway Dolls.
Heard of it.
And Margaret Qualley is the lead in that, I think would be a good...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? No, oh, you go like a Marie Cotillard, but I think we need to pay more attention to people that who haven't been in the 47? Industry for 25 years.
Well, she's got a pretty good filmography here on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm on board.
Her spouse is Jack Antonoff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. she's really outside the industry.
I'm not saying outside the industry. I'm saying not 50.
Up in commerce. Yeah.
I was going to go with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Ooh.
Who's that?
Because I think she...
From Fleabag.
I always call her Dirtbag.
I think she's too old.
I think Margaret Qualley is a great pick. That's
but thanks
awesome.
For throwing Phoebe's name into the hat, Joe.
Phoebe.
She's going to do fine.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. She's got $150 million to not produce a show. Or something like that. Right? She got paid a bunch of money and hasn't made a show yet. Right? That's her whole thing.
Well, she was going to do the Mr. and Mrs. Smith thing with... Donald Glover, but they had creative differences. Mm.
Real quick, before we get into the show, have you guys watched the new Grand Tour, Sand Job?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I thought the premise was so good.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Those guys, I mean, they're the best.
Yeah. That part where they have to use the crane to go down that sheer cliff was maybe one of the most harrowing things I've seen them do.
Dude, then they drive through the tunnel?
Yeah.
That's the tunnel right was crazy. After.
Was that the one where they crashed?
That was the previous episode. Oh, okay. Or a previous episode. That was in Iceland or something like that.
But, dude, like, the writing on those shows is so good.
As we
get into the bigger and bigger content, I'm just so much more aware of how hard those specials must be, not just to produce, but to come up with the ideas.
How do you justify going to Mauritania?
Right.
How do you justify going to this super remote village?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The difference in budget from what we do is so
great. For sure. I mean,
it's
but like
the motivation for like all of the little segments to like actually build a story and not just be a road trip is so impressive.
Very good. Yeah, I thought it was awesome. And they got one more coming out. Really looking forward to that. That'll be like their last one.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marietta Helene Delange was born to a working class family in Aulnay-sous-Aulnoye.
Okay.
Aulnay-sous-Aulnoye.
A quiet village 40 miles from Paris, France.
All right.
Her father was a postman, and her mother fought to raise a family in an era when even the most minor illness could result in the deaths of her beloved children. Three Delongle children had died before young Mariette Helene joined the family. By the time she turned four, her father had died, leaving her mother alone to care for daughters Mariette Helene and Solange, and two sons named Lucien and Henri.
Lucien
Pumphrey.
I'm learning French because I'm going to Paris in a week.
You're going to Paris in a week?
Yeah.
This is news to me. No,
this is
not.
News to me. What am I supposed to do? I mean, did you think of that? What am I supposed to do?
Where are my tickets, dude?
Yeah. Make sure Emily doesn't eat any blue cheese.
But it's crazy how
bad
much...
for babies.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You got to look it up.
She doesn't like blue cheese, so it's not a big risk.
Good.
But it is crazy how much you just have to swallow your tongue with words. Henri.
Henri.
It's crazy how much I have to swallow my tongue when you jokers are talking. Just before her father succumbed to his illness, however, he took the Delongle family to the 1903 Paris-Madrid rally, an event that would change his youngest daughter's life. In the quiet village of Aulnoye, only the mayor owned a car.
I'm the mayor. I got to drive around.
Hey, I'm the mayor. I got to, see what's happening.
Yeah. Only I can own the car.
So it was a shock for these quiet townspeople to witness the speed exhibited by the cars that passed through. Over 300 machines entered the rally and dazzled a three-year-old Helene with their sounds and smells and speeds. It was to be her first taste of the racing scene.
Cool.
It wasn't until she was 16 that she realized she wanted to pursue a greater life than the one Aulnoye could give her. In 1916, the Delongle family received news that Lucien, the eldest son, had been killed in action in World War I.
Jeez.
Damn, dude. The backbone of the family was gone. And Helene perhaps realized that she was free to chase her more adventurous dreams. No records reveal just how a teenaged Helene may have felt about her brother's death. They also don't elaborate on exactly what it was that made the young woman leave her family home in pursuit of the more glamorous lifestyle offered by nearby Paris.
I mean, she must have had a balls out mindset and been like, this place sucks. All my family's dead.
I could die tomorrow.
Yeah, might as well get out there, man.
Yeah, she's had that Gump mindset. Yeah. And we're just like, I'm going to just go see what the world has to offer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Real Gump mindset.
Yeah, real Gump mindset. By the time she was 18, Helene and her two dogs had been bouncing from one small apartment to another.
Okay.
Those rented rooms were usually run by war widows, willing to ignore where their tenants' money came from. In Helene's case, that money was coming from a burgeoning modeling career, one that was about to launch her into something close to stardom.
Look, if I'm a landlord, I don't care where the money comes from. Unless you're killing people in my apartment for money.
You know how many landlords we've had to be like, yeah, I get my money from YouTube.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
I know. They're like, what?
Check clears.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, how does that work? How does YouTube pay? You ever had those conversations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So
you get your money on the internet?
Yeah.
I told a landlord
Bill
one
Gates
time.
Bill Gates gives you the money?
Yeah. One time a landlord was like, so you get your money on you get paid from the internet, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How's that work? I was like, I don't know, just like Jeff Bezos did it. Yeah. And he was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That checks out. Yeah. So much of Helene Delongle's early life is a mystery. As her profile grew, she coyly kept the details close to her chest, laughing off inquisitive reporters by telling them, it is a secret, but I might have time to tell you soon.
Oh, that's playful.
We do know that in the early 1920s, Hélène began taking dancing classes and was quickly spotted by talent scouts who had fallen for the charm of the young 21-year-old country girl. No, she wasn't destined for ballet. She was a much better fit for the risque cabaret scene. As she danced her way into the hearts of countless throngs of Parisians that had fallen in love with semi-nude performances, she was able to tuck away enough money to take road trips around France in her Citroën. She even accompanied some of her newest acquaintances on a trip across the English Channel to watch her second ever race, an event at England's Brooklands track. She was as dazzled by the spectacle as she was enraged by the strict mandate that women were not allowed to compete against their male counterparts in the racing world. But a career in motorsport was yet to come. As her dancing career continued to grow, Hélène Delong took the stage name Hélénice and began to associate herself with thrill-seeking crowds. Her closest compatriots at the time were Henri de Gautiels, the owner of a car accessory shop. Then there was Marcel Mongin, a sports car racer, and artist René Carrera,
who was named after her car.
At their side, the newly named niece climbed up and skied down mountains. She took long vacations and became a regular feature at the tracks of France, where she would soon witness the death of Corsil.
Where are her dogs this whole time?
Yeah.
Who's watching her dogs?
I think they're pouch dogs. They're dogs what? That can fit in a pouch.
Oh, so
they're
cute.
Right there with her.
Just yeah. Thinking about
little arf, arf, French bulldogs.
Arf, arf, yeah.
Frenchies.
Frenchies.
Yeah.
All the while, Nice was on her way to becoming a critical hit, at least as far as the nude cabaret scene was concerned.
I like this gal.
Leon Volterra, sick name, by the way.
Yeah.
Who took over the iconic Casino de Paris, hired Nice to play bit parts in his regular shows and helped her gain roles in the Gala Union of Theater Performers, where she was able to put her acrobatic talents on full display. But in 1929, Nice's dancing career came to a sudden end. As she skied down the slopes at Mugev, her favorite resort, Nice recognized the telltale signs of an avalanche, and to save her life, she sped up and made a drastic leap to safety, but in the process, she permanently damaged the cartilage in her knee.
Damn, but to do a jump to get out of the way of an avalanche? That's sick.
Sick, dude.
That's hella nice.
Yeah, it's hella nice.
Hella nice, dude.
Hella nice.
The injury was a death sentence for the career of a dancer, but it perhaps came at a pretty lucky time. Nice was nearing 30 years old, and her onstage career was dwindling as younger and more nimble talent rose to the top of the scene. The fact that her dancing career was ended by an injury and not a poor performance or a negative review meant she was able to retire with dignity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It also secured her an invitation to her very first race, the Actors' Championship.
Oh, okay. Man, that's what you got to get in on.
I got to get in on
gotta
that.
Got to get in on that.
Gotta get on this actors here. That's the Oscars. The Actors Championship was a series of small competitions that France's best dancers, actors, and stage personnel were invited to compete in.
They let the techies in the cars.
Yeah.
Hélénice had already attended the event in the past, where she grew her profile by posing with the finest automobiles of the day.
All right.
But after her injury in 1929, her invitation to that year's event was especially critical. There's going to be a race run by the various actors who had a penchant for fast cars. Marcel Mongin, Nice's sports car racing friend, thought she had a shot at winning not only the Actors' Championship, but also the Journée Féminine de l'Automobile, an all-female race set to take place that same month.
I do like that you can kind of parse what the French is saying.
Yeah.
Journey Feminine de l'Automobile?
Yeah. The lady's journey in a car.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah.
That's called context clues.
Uh-huh. But it all looks like it's written on the side of a shampoo bottle. Here, Nice saw an opening for a career, and she wasted no time preparing. She purchased an Omega 6 race car.
Oh, yeah.
Sick name.
Yeah. Omega 6.
Omega 6. Sounds like a boner pill.
It has a rhino on it.
Six cylinder.
That makes sense.
She purchased an Omega 6 race car, one of the cars that Mongin had driven in the 1924 running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans. She also began a rigorous physical training routine to strengthen her body. The heavy cars of the day were challenging to drive at high speeds, but Nice was confident she'd be up to the task. Every day, twice a day, she turned laps at the Montreux circuit in France with the money she'd earned from her dancing and modeling careers.
I bet she was pretty strong already, though, being a dancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's still, like, drivers never did
two-a-days.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Two-a-days.
It was probably in the city. Finally, on June 2nd, Nice launched from the starting line of the Journée Féminine, her head reeling from a night spent dancing in a nightclub, indulging in champagne and morphine.
It's the 20s, baby!
And sex.
Oh.
Until she finally caught a few hours sleep. In the first race of the day, her rattled nerves showed when she finished in 15th place. Wonjin, who had become a mentor, pulled her aside to tell her to pick up the pace, asking, "How many men was it last night?"
Jeez, brutal.
It was motivation enough. Nice crossed the line in first place.
Whoa.
Having overtaken the competition.
Okay.
She was a race winner.
In her first race.
That's pretty sick.
Wow. Gnarly.
The accolades rolled in quickly. Still coming down off the high of the victory and morphine. Yeah. Nice received a call from Bugatti. The legendary French manufacturer wanted her to drive one of their cars in the upcoming Actors Championship. She left the showroom with a T43A and the blessings of Jean Bugatti.
It's a nice looking car.
It's so sleek.
Bet Jay Leno has one of those.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey.
He saw her as the ideal sales girl. And at the Actors
this chick's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. It turns out this chick's actually pretty cool.
And if I give her a car, I might have a shot.
At the Actors' Championship, Nice navigated the heavy vehicle through the trials of Gymkhana, where she again took victory. For the first time in the history of the championship, a woman had won a racing event.
Whoa. There we go.
There we go.
The first Gymkhana. Do you think Monster was there?
Yeah, Monster.
Monster Energy. It's made out of cocaine.
Yeah, it has cocaine and morphine.
Cocaine, morphine.
It's kind of a mixed bag, really.
We don't know if it gives you energy.
The uppers and the downers.
It's a goose blood mixed with cocaine and morphine.
Cocaine.
Cocaine, morphine, goose blood. And bald air.
And a little bit of lime.
And taurine.
It is, people think it is a bull semen. That is not true.
It is not bull semen.
Goose semen.
Tissue from the fat of a bull. Not semen. I want to reiterate it is not semen.
We're not drinking semen. I want to reiterate.
I want to reiterate. Semen.
We are not drinking semen.
It is not the, how you say, cum. Yeah.
It tastes like it, but it's not.
It tastes just like cum. We did that on purpose.
A little bit of pineapple, a little bit of butter popcorn.
Pass Gas will be right back. Commercial time.
Big thanks to The Freeze Pipe for sponsoring this episode of Pass Gas. Smoking cannabis doesn't have to hurt. Upgrade to a Freeze Pipe today and experience smoother clouds without the throat burn, chest pain, or coughing attacks. Freeze Pipe makes a unique line of freezeable pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more that cool smoke by over 300 degrees. Every piece is made of thick glass and creates clouds so cold, you'll check to see if the bowl is even lit. But you will be. The secret is freezeable glycerin chambers that come on every piece. Pop one of these chambers in the freezer for 1 hour, and as smoke passes through, it's instantly chilled for a relaxing experience without the afterburner coughing. American-owned and with over 100,000 happy customers, FreezePipe is your solution to smoke like royalty without paying a king's ransom. Shop now at thefreezepipe.com and use code GAS for 10% off your entire order. That's thefreezepipe.com and code GAS for 10% off. Order today to get free shipping and say goodbye to harsh smoke forever. Big thanks to Indeed for sponsoring this episode of Pass Gas. We are driven by a search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. I've done hiring in the past for Donut, and it is a pain in the butt. If I had a tool like Indeed, it would have made things so much easier. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/passgas. Just go to Indeed.com/passgas right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/passgas. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Niece quickly became a constant presence at racetracks, where she was something of an enigma. Some of her competitors came to respect her racecraft and obvious dedication to motorsport, while others regarded her with derision. Here was a woman more concerned about flaunting her body and posing for pictures as evidenced by her penchant for racing in swimsuits or full-face makeup than she was about actually winning.
Racing in swimsuits is sick.
Yeah.
A little risky.
In case, just back then, dude, if you got in a crash,
yeah, you're dead anyway. Yeah. So whatever. But
it's not like they were wearing flame retardant suits anyway.
No,
they were
right.
Wearing
that's
full
true.
Suits.
Yeah,
very true.
At that point, they were caught in her wool, so they're going to start on fire anyways.
That being said, her achievements were undeniable. With her prize money, Niece bought a yacht and a luxurious Hispano Suiza road car, and she signed with Lucky Strike to become the face of the cigarette brand. This is cool.
Dude, really talk cool. about. Rise to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bugatti and Lucky
Bugatti
Strike.
Bugatti and Lucky. She won one race. Just like endorsing a ton of big, huge companies.
Within the first year of her racing career, Ettore Bugatti had invited her to stay in Molsheim, which housed the Bugatti estate, to begin training for her future endeavors.
It's because back then, if you tried anything, you were cutting out 99% of the population because, like, most people were just dying in mud.
Yeah.
And, and now,
absolutely.
Now, literally everybody. Yeah.
She's like, I watched most of my family die in mud. Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
And now, every single person on the planet, even if they're a doctor already, is trying to become like a social media person, i.e., just schlocking goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, the competition is way too
fierce.
Much.
Yeah.
Dude, if I lived in the 20s, I'd be president.
Ettore Bugatti was hesitant about Niece, who he regarded as unserious. He forbade her from drinking, dancing, and indulging in morphine while his dedicated race team...
No morphine!
while his dedicated race team helped her hone her skills. The next step in her career would be setting speed records at the concrete bowl that was the Mont-Lerie circuit. In December of 1929, she became the fastest woman in the world, setting a new record for fastest lap set by a woman with a speed of just under 123 miles per hour. She also set the female record for the fastest average over 10 laps at just under 121 miles per hour.
Wow.
Upon hearing the news of her accomplishment, she begged to be allowed another shot. She would crest the coveted 200 kilometers per hour or 125 mile per hour mark. Bugatti shot her down, instead advising her to rest on her laurels for a while. Niece responded by buying the Bugatti Type 35 she had been driving and entering it into the Moroccan Grand Prix, intending to race alongside her then-lover, Bruno de Harcourt. She made it all the way to Africa, only to withdraw when de Harcourt was killed in a testing accident.
Oh, God.
She returned home to her first-ever Grand Prix at Le Mans, where she finished in third place.
Oh man!
Holy moly!
She finished third at Le Mans. What?
Yeah, Grand Prix. I don't think it was the 24, but dude, come on!
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Insane. It was then that Niece believed she'd struck the deal of a lifetime. She was offered a tour of America, where she was promised $200 for each appearance at dirt and board track events around the country. And then she was told she'd be allowed to drive the Indy 500 champion Ralph DePalma's supercharged Miller car. Her expenses would be paid for. It was too good a deal to pass up.
Wow.
It's Bruno.
Dude.
She's
Forrest Gump of racing.
Forrest Gump of racing.
She's like Lady Gump.
She kind of is.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, the deal was quickly revealed to be too good to be true. After her first event at the Woodbridge Track in New Jersey, she earned both an Esso sponsorship deal and the nickname of Speed Bowl Queen.
Nice.
Speed Bowl Queen.
It was unrelated, though. She could smoke a ton of bowls.
Yeah. Of speed.
Yeah.
All she did at the time was turn fast exhibition laps, but the crowds flocked to the track to see this gorgeous French woman speed around some of the most dangerous racetracks in the world.
She performed so admirably and fell so in love with the American racing scene that she extended her contract before returning to Europe in 1931 when she was 31 years old.
Oh, man, later in life.
Yeah. The next 5 years were the most successful of Nice's life. She broke records at the Mont Ventoux Hill Climb. She finished second in the Coup de Dame at Reims. She fought admirably in events against legendary drivers like Louis Chiron and René Dreyfus, and was regularly the only woman to enter Grand Prix events. Despite missing several events in 1933 due to a burst appendix,
oh, God,
and seeing so many of her friends and lovers killed on the track, Nice was on top of the world. She had become, without a doubt, the most successful woman in that era of motorsport, and it seemed as if her momentum would never die down. But then, in 1936, she went to Brazil.
Oh, God. In her diaries, Nice described 1936 as the year of bad luck. But it certainly didn't seem that way at first. When she and her lover, Arnaldo Benelli, sailed to South America for their first race of the season, there was no way to know it would be the beginning of the end of her career. Nice was quick at the San Paulo circuit, and during the Grand Prix, she was running in third place when her Alfa Romeo clipped a hay bale that had been thrown into the track.
Come on.
Her car careened into the grandstand, killing six people and injuring more than 30 others. Nice herself was unconscious for 3 days. Rumors flourished that Nice would be held responsible for the crash, and her friends were forced to go to Brazil to advocate on her behalf as she spent weeks recovering in the hospital. Then, after she regained enough of her health to return to France, she was embroiled in a car smuggling scandal alongside several other drivers accused of taking multiple expensive cars from one country to the next without paying duties. Nice was found guilty.
That's not a huge deal.
Whatever, meanies.
I'm sure Louis Chiron did a couple.
She's a star. Things. It's not a star's job to figure out all the paperwork. That's why they have people.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. Celebrities should not be held accountable.
No. Not for paperwork.
I just want to go on record.
I just want to go on record and say that celebrities should not be held accountable for duties. Nice stepped back from motorsport in 1936, but the impact of her crash lingered. In her diary, she noted uncontrollable mood swings, gruesome flashbacks, and immense guilt over her role in multiple deaths.
Yeah.
Emotions that would last throughout the rest of her life. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, for sure.
But she made a triumphant return in 1937 for the Yaco Endurance Trials. Hosted by an oil company that hired four women to break a slew of driving records, the Endurance Trials were a huge success. She partnered with Claire de Solas, Simone de Forest, and Odette Sico to drive a Matford car with a V8 engine for 10 days and 10 nights.
Whoa.
Damn.
The women broke 26 world records in the process and provided a much-needed morale boost to France, a country that was struggling in the build-up to World War II. Nevertheless, Nice continued to race. She undertook the Chamonix Rally with Fritz Huske.
Fritz Huske won.
Not even done. With Fritz Huske von Hanstein,
wow.
Who would later become a chief of Porsche's racing department, not see much, and took victory in various all-female events throughout 1938 and 1939. Her last victory came at Comminges, where she raced a Renault 4 CV against a field of female competitors. And then the war broke out. Racing activities in Europe came to a screeching halt as Hitler's armed forces invaded Poland and automakers were instructed to become military suppliers instead. Nice and her partner Benelli moved from the south of France to Paris just 5 months before Hitler's troops took control of the city.
That's some bad luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she might have done okay. She remained there for several years, scavenging for more food than their meager allotment allowed, while visiting her ill mother and a sister who was resentful that Nice had abandoned the family for a better life. If that resentment makes it all the way to this podcast, you know what I mean?
That's
like through
gnarly.
Like yeah. almost 100 years of record to like now me, mm-hmm. some doofus, is mentioning that her sister was mad at her.
Yeah.
You know?
Some scorn.
That, imagine what it was like at dinner, man. Yeah.
That's some hella scorn right there.
That's some hella scorn, dude.
And yeah, this is the second time we mentioned it in the podcast.
Right, her sister's pissed off at her, dude. Niece made a trip to Saint-Même, where her family was living every month, to beg for any scraps of food they could offer. In the evening, perhaps she could find solace in the Nazi-occupied bars and dance halls where she had first made her career. Whatever the case, it was a drastic departure from the high-flying life Niece had lived until that point.
It just goes to show there's like so many factors outside of your control, like a, you know, continent sprawling conflict that can just completely mess up your life and your plans.
Yeah.
And you don't really have any control over that. As the dust of World War II began to settle into an uncomfortable peace, Europe's motorsport elite were prepared to return to the racetrack. Helen Niece, now in her mid-40s, had struggled to join them, and it wasn't until she received an invite from fellow female racer Annie ETA, thank you, Joe, that her hopes were revived. Via letter, the two women had agreed to partner with each other at the 1949 Monte Carlo Rally. Overjoyed with the offer, Niece purchased a brand new Renault 4CV 760 with her rapidly dwindling savings and began sharpening her driving skills for the post-war rally. The night before the rally, however, Niece had been humiliated. At a party honoring the competitors in the event, Louis Chiron, the formidable king of the racing world, pointed at Niece and loudly declared that during the war, she had been a Gestapo agent. ETA and Niece still competed in the rally, but without distinction. Niece was understandably shaken. Later, she remembered being so, quote, staggered to hear myself being called an agent that I simply didn't know what to say. I didn't even react.
I wonder if there's any, like, substance behind that, or if he was just like, I think she's an agent. I'm going to call her out.
Chiron's accusation was the final nail in the coffin for Niece's career. When she asked for a refutation, Chiron refused. When she wrote to the organizer of the Monte Carlo rally, he claimed to be out of the country and unable to help, in large part because that organizer was close friends with Chiron. Chiron had, after all, established a comfortable legacy in Monaco, having established events like the Monaco Grand Prix and the Monte Carlo rally. No definitive evidence has ever been brought to light to prove that Niece either aided the Nazis or pushed against them. Perhaps she had a wartime liaison with a German driver. Maybe she provided information to stay on good terms with France's German occupiers. Her compensation for her Sao Paulo crash was running thin, after all, and there's good money to be made by becoming an informant. With her history in cabaret and entertainment, perhaps Niece was able to protect the trappings of her luxurious lifestyle by becoming a wartime socialite.
I could see it.
I could definitely see it. Yeah. What we do know is that during the war, as living conditions declined in Paris, Helen Niece and her partner Arnaldo Benelli traveled south to Nice, France, where they settled into a comfortable, newly built villa. No records exist to show who inhabited that villa before Niece and Benelli, and it's not clear how they acquired it. Whether it was left empty after a Jewish family was forced from their home, or if the villa was a gift for Niece's cooperation with the occupiers, or if she spent some of her savings on a legitimate purchase. Can't really say either way, but, no. You know, draw your own conclusions, I guess. Whatever the case, it was enough for Chiron.
Yeah, we encourage you to draw conclusions.
Well,
no matter like, whether there's any evidence to support any of them, draw conclusions.
Yeah. Make your, I don't know.
Let's just, dude. Hey, I'm serious. Draw conclusions.
I think it's not looking good.
Yeah, I'm not looking good. I said I could see it.
Yeah.
I'm sketching out some conclusions.
Just to reiterate, her sister is really angry.
Her sister's so mad at her.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Draw conclusions from that.
Whatever the case.
She's scrappy.
Yeah, she is. But I don't know. Whatever the case, it was enough for Chiron's accusations to stick. Niece was banned from racing competition in France, and her reputation was marred by what she called unchivalrous untruths. Quote,
I can promise you that what he said was bad enough to have influenced everybody who heard him, and they all did.
Niece had pleaded in a letter to Anthony Noeux, co-founder of the Automobile Club of Monaco. She never received a response. More of that story right after this. We gotta pay the bills.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hélène Nice attempted to enter a handful of races after she was disgraced by Charron, but she withdrew from them all. A new era of racers had come to change the name of motorsport game, and Nice, at over 50 years old, was no longer in her prime. Even more than that, she was also haunted by her past. The crash in San Paolo had left her with rapidly changing moods and an inability to sleep at night without replaying her near-death experience in her mind. She also seemed to have substance issues.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors going on. Substance abuse. I mean, as we noted, she's deeply traumatized by this crash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she's already in like war torn France at that time.
And she's getting called out by her hero.
She's getting called out by that guy. I mean, with all those factors together, even without being called out, like I could see how she wouldn't make good decisions in Paris.
So this is where the story diverts from Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
whereas he ended his life with.
Well, he never ended his life.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting
for part
two. He
went back to his home planet.
Yeah. She gave herself over to bitterness, and at the same time, her partner, Arnaldo, started to look for other women. In the process, he met a Parisian businessman who convinced Arnaldo to take the last of Nice's savings and invest in a company that proved to be a scam.
Phew. Not good.
Nice began to sell off all her furniture, paintings, and finally her villa. By 1960, Benelli had left her entirely, and Nice moved into a shoddy apartment, which she could afford by pleading for charity from La Routorne, an organization that helped former entertainers pay their bills.
Hmm.
Her sister Solange was institutionalized, her brother Henri was killed, and her mother resented her to the point that she wrote Nice out of the will.
I mean, what's in the will, though?
I went to the lawyer hopeless, Solange wrote to her sister as the mother's health failed. Nothing can be done. Hélène Nice lived until 1984.
Jeez.
When after undergoing an operation on her leg, she fell into a coma and never woke up.
Oh.
It was perhaps a release from her suffering. In her final years, Nice's neighbor watched her drink milk from the saucers left out on the ground for local cats.
God.
When she was asked to speak publicly about her San Paolo crash in 1978, she refused, writing, "How could I do it? I can't afford the journey, and speaking's almost impossible since I lost my teeth." Oh, God.
Oh, God.
She admitted that she had long considered sealing up her apartment and turning on the gas. And goodbye to Hélène Nice and her miseries. She passed the time pasting together scrapbooks of her former accomplishments, which were sold after her death.
Jeez.
And I bought four. After she died, Nice's body was sent to her sister Solange to be buried next to her mother in the Sainte-Mame graveyard. Solange interred the body but refused to inscribe her sister's name on the headstone. It would be as if Mariette Hélène de Langlais had never even existed.
Damn, that's sad as hell.
That's gnarly. Yeah,
that's worse than reading
sad story, dude.
The death the of 80 people.
Sad, dog.
It's likely that we'll never know just what happened to Helen Nies during the war. Was she an active Nazi collaborator, the silent beneficiary of one of history's biggest tragedies, or was she simply in the wrong place at the wrong time? Was her fate the result of her own actions or of the accusations of a competitor? Those answers are likely lost to history. I think there's a good chance she did that shit.
Listen, man, you've said it like four times.
I'm just saying.
I think we've said it enough times.
I'm just saying, like,
based on our
information, I doubt Louis Chiron was jealous enough to make accusations that big, unless he had.
No, I don't think it was jealousy. I think it was like
that's
betrayal.
Not how you should think.
But if anything good can be said of Nies's fate, it's this. After Miranda Seymour finally published The Bugatti Queen in 2005, Helen Nies's name broke through to a new generation, one that wasn't so quick to damn her to a fate of obscurity and unmarked graves.
Yeah, Nolan.
In 2010...
Gen Z likes her.
In 2010, a foundation set up in Nies's name installed a plaque beside her final resting place, ensuring her place in motorsports complex history.
So that's cool. She's got cool motorsport history.
Yeah, it would be a sick movie. Yeah.
Definitely a good movie.
For sure, dude. And we could take some liberties. We could make her a collaborator for sure.
I think it needs to be a movie for sure.
I mean, maybe Anne Hathaway. She's too old, you saying, huh?
Maybe she... What? Well,
we
I
need
think
Margaret
maybe,
Qualley.
Yeah, we like Qualley.
Margaret Qualley.
What do you have against Margaret?
I just have never seen her act. What's she in again?
A lot of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you should watch a movie from now.
Maybe try crack a movie sometime.
Maybe try crack open
a DVD
sometime?
Container.
Yeah, DVDs.
Oh, are you just watching DVDs? That's your problem.
Wow, what a story.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
Very just... What a figure.
Bummed out. She seemed really fun in the 20s, though.
Yeah, for sure.
The whole, I wouldn't want to be around when she's drinking from the cat's
hospital. That could take that or leave it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Anyways,
Joe?
We got some listener mail from Richard this week. Hi, everyone. My name is Richard, a bean counter and a nerd in PA. So please, no hate, James. Do you hate PA or do you hate bean counters?
I think bean counters I've gone on record saying.
I've been watching Donut for years and recently have come across the Past Gas podcast.
Hey, thanks. Now you're being on it.
Nice. Yeah.
On top of the automotive history.
Now you're being on it. You are currently being on
you're
it.
Being yep. on it, man. Good job.
Being on it, dude.
On congrats. Top of the automotive history, I love the banter between the whole group. It reminds me of my circle of friends and fellow gearheads when I lived in Cali.
Oh, shock.
Oh, yeah.
I think a great...
Let's go to Bob's Big Boy.
I think a great story would be the history of Saab. We've talked about this.
We've talked about
and
this.
And it might be coming up.
We've it might be.
Many people know of Saab as their ultimate downfall under GM. Yep. However, there is a lot more to the quirky Swedish manufacturer.
Ooh, baby.
Like how Saab was prominent in rally going back to the 50s. Anyways, I would love to hear what the Donut team is able to come up with. Thanks for the constant laughs and the stories about automotive history. A lot I had no idea about. Your previous Saab 900 owner, Richard.
Richard, being on the show, dude.
Now you're being on the show, dude.
Yeah, I think we do have an episode coming up. Christina's nodding silently. Two episodes, a double-parter, Richard.
Dang.
Two episodes.
Look at that.
So you know, we had the idea before. You said it.
So you don't get royalties.
You don't get royalties. And let me just say, Richard, you could have retired if you did. Because that's millions of dollars right there.
Thank you so much, Richard, for your email. Hit us up at passgas@donutmedia.com, and maybe you can be on the show, too.
Maybe you can start being on the show.
Being on it, too. My name is Nolan Sykes. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Follow James at James Pumphrey. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Big thank you to our production team. We got Christina Falski, Gavin Kinzel, and Eddie Esparza.
And our writer.
Blackstock for writing this episode.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And our main source, the Bugatti Queen, in search of a motor racing legend by Miranda Seymour. Check it out if you want more about this crazy, crazy life. All right. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find
people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.